Well, I think that even when he fired me wrongfully, and I knew it, and his family knew it, I never held it against him personally because I understood he was misinformed. And I also understood that he was under tremendous pressures then, and life-threatening pressures, literally, and others, that wouldn't allow him or anyone else to see clearly the small situation that I had. So I never saw him in different terms, even then. And I always had this sense that he was one of the great people I'd ever meet in life. And so if I could help him in any way, I wanted to do that. And I wasn't a student activist. I wasn't a labor activist necessarily, except for with the farm workers. But I thought if there was anything I could do to contribute to his success, I wanted to do that. So as I evolved and learned more and got more confident myself, then I was able to do a lot more things that he didn't hand out a lot of credit, whether it was deserved or false credit. He didn't do that much. But only one time when I didn't accompany him after about the second or third year on a trip for a few weeks, he said to me, he said, you know, I never realized how much you do on these trips and how much you do for me until this one when you weren't there. Because I had really learned the technique and the art of advanced work, the getting people to set, you know, podiums right and speaker cards right and thank you notes right and all of that and do it so it would be seamless. So we did a lot of that. We had a lot of practice at it. I'm sure we made a lot of mistakes, but we learned that and developed a rhythm and a cadence that we worked together and in oftentimes trying situations, long hours, grueling schedules, and some at times very dangerous schedules with death threats and the like that came close to happening a few times.
Okay. Now, we have a few minutes left here on the section. I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, to get a sense of what kind of things that you situations you were up against on a daily basis. I said you mentioned life-threatening situations, long days. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that, boy, right from the outset, before I came on, I remember when he was going to jail that day in Salinas. I was a writer for the newspaper, but I was there in a crowd, and I think the night before, I had had a dream of someone, trying to shoot him with a gun, and I wasn't a security person. I never thought I'd be doing that work with him, but when I began, and I knew about death threats before I started working with him, real ones, and I went to some trials of a guy who was one of the people who had killed someone else in Central Valley. So I learned about that, and after I started working for him, I studied all the assassinations and assassination attempts of leaders around the, you know, over time. So I learned a lot about it, and he knew a lot about it, and he and I talked about them. But the days were mighty long. I mean, we were regularly 7 days a week. 15-hour day was a short day, and we could start in Delano, be in San Francisco, and this was all driving because he was very frugal, and so we would drive usually with two cars and several people and his two German shepherds, Boycott and Welga, and so we would drive a lot of places, and so we could be in Delano in the morning, San Francisco at night, Phoenix the next morning, Sacramento the next day, Los Angeles, flying back to Washington, D.C. from there for a few days, go to New York, travel there for 2 weeks, or go to Ohio for a week, a tour, go to Florida, different states, Michigan, Canada for a week here and there, just a lot of activities to keep the boycott going and get support for the movement in California. So we could do that a lot. And during those times, whether it was in the valley or any of the valleys in California, or in New York or Providence, Rhode Island, or there were times when we'd get word of death threats, and sometimes we had the dossier that local law enforcement officials would provide us with and give us pictures and show us the records of people who were being paid, that type of thing. I even had one once for my godfather, who was a longshoreman in San Diego, who knew about surly things in life, and he said, look, I don't know Cesar Chavez, but you're my godson, and I've heard about this contract being out in his life. People were talking about it here in the docks. So we would see those on occasion, but we learned and evolved so well in the security part that we never had heavy security, but we had great security because we would always enlist regular people and train them very quickly to help us, because that's the only real security. So we didn't do big security. We did smart security, and it didn't look like he had any security, but he had plenty of it. And we'd, on several occasions, outside of Sacramento once, at some funerals, and we were burying 23 farm workers who had been killed in a bus crash in Mexicali. There were actual events where people had guns, but our system and our people had found it out, and we were able to move him. We learned in that part of our job how to move things quickly. We always had backup plans and backup plans and backup plans. And one time, when maybe just to scare us, some people from the Patriarca family in Providence, Rhode Island, a mafia group there, who were probably associated with a labor union, I won't mention at this time because I don't think they're the same anymore as they were back then. But they sent some people, and the plainclothes police I had with me, they're traveling with us, they were afraid when they saw them. But we had learned some things, like setting up three sets of cars early in the day. And once we come into an event, if there was a problem, we'd choose which cars we would go in, and other people would take off at the same time. So we learned a lot of that. And it was from de Gaulle that we learned. He escaped the most assassination attempts. And what we learned is that it was always by degree. You always change the angles, and that's how you cut down the likelihood of somebody assassinating a target, because if you want to do it, you can. And the only way you can stop it is by having smart security and changing the angles and degrees to beat it.
Right.
And we were able to do that from time to time.
Good. Now, Richard, I'd like to move in now into another very, very